Good afternoon and welcome to the City of Madison Police Chief Interviews public segment. This interview was recorded on August 14th, 2025 to be published for public viewing. My name is Julie Trimble and I work in the City of Madison Human Resources Department. I'm moderating this interview on behalf of the City of Madison Police and Fire Commission. Thank you for your time to review this taped interview. Each interview consists of 6 questions with a maximum allowable time of 20 minutes for each candidate. Our next interviewee is Stephen Johnson, who is currently an assistant chief of police with the City of Milwaukee Police Department. Chief, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We will now begin the questions. Question number one, please take a few minutes to introduce yourself to the residents of Madison and tell us what makes you the best candidate for chief of police.
Thank you for the question. Hello, residents of Madison. My name is Stephen Johnson. I am a 44-year member Wisconsinite. Been living in the state for 44 years and call Milwaukee home for 44 years, although originally I'm from Mississippi. So proudly call Wisconsin my home for the past 44 years. I'm a husband, wife, Nicole, for over 24 years of marriage and also been together 35 years. We have 2 adult children and 4 grandchildren. So what makes me the best candidate for this position? I started my law enforcement career in 1997 with the Milwaukee Police Department. I'm currently the assistant chief commanding the patrol bureau operations for the city of Milwaukee. That consists of directing all patrol operations and personnel for the patrol bureau, which consists of over 1,000 sworn personnel that's assigned to my bureau. Of those personnel, there are, say, over 1,000 sworn personnel. I have over 10 captains, 2 inspectors, 124 sergeants, and roughly 24 lieutenants all under my command for the city of Milwaukee, which the patrol bureau consists of at least our 7 patrol districts, which includes our specialized patrol division, which makes up the city of Milwaukee total population of over 570,000 residents. I have 28 years of progressive leadership, policing in urban and diverse community within the city of Milwaukee. And in that time that I've, the last 3.5 years as the assistant chief of police, I oversaw our crime plan implementation from 22 to 2024. And during that time frame, 12% reduction in violent crime, 's some of the accomplishments, 39% reduction in homicides within that time frame, 8% reduction in aggravated assaults, and 14% reduction in theft. And with that, I would say, continue on what makes me, I'm fiscally responsible for our overall department, my patrol bureau overtime budget of over $13.7 million. And showing over these last years how fiscally responsible I am with the dollars that not only the city entrusts the department, myself, to handle and operate. We maintain our budget, being that good steward of the dollars, the precious dollars that the city give us. It comes down to partnerships. law enforcement, we cannot do our job without community partnerships to help us in that endeavor. Working with our local, county, state, federal partners, it's one of those components of our law enforcement. So another aspect of that RNC, when you're talking about the partnership, Milwaukee held our RNC convention in 2024, withdrew a large component of law enforcement into come in to help us. That was one of the largest national special security events for the city of Milwaukee. One of the largest footprints as far as how much space we had to occupy and pull off that successful event. So I think with my leadership, my willing not only to lead, but also be led, not only am I a leader, but I'm an exemplary follower as well. So I think those qualities, in my experience, dealing with these large, complex issues and that we may face, makes me one of the best candidates.
Thank you. Question two, what is your view on how police should engage with youth?
Our youth, I see, coach, mentor. Having officers ensuring that they're getting out of the cars and engaging with our youth, not to, always assuming that they're doing things illegal, but just to engage, getting out and getting to know them. My experience, it was 15 years I spent as a coach of a youth football organization, Athletes for Youth, and working a late shift as a young officer, getting off and mentoring those youth, I found very rewarding. And getting out to know them, you never know what direction you can, or trajectory you can send a youth when you engage with them positively. Case in point, when fast forward to this present day, one of my former players currently is on our department. Not only is he excelling, he is attaining rank. So seeing the youth back then on that team when he was there, some troubled, some not having the grades to put place of sports in their high schools, and knowing that they knew I was law enforcement, getting off work tired, but still when they see you in that uniform, engaging positively, you can change that youth path going forward. And I think that's one of the, when we're instilling that hope for them that despite what they may be facing today, there's something better tomorrow. So our youth, we have to have those touch points with them at a younger age, but also showing that what this uniform represents, changing their perception of what this uniform may have meant to them, but also we must change our perception of our youth and our community as well.
Thank you. What is the role of local police in enforcing federal immigration laws?
Federal immigration laws is just that, federal immigration laws. It is a civil process. Local law enforcement, when it comes down to civil enforcement, we don't enforce civil process in county situations, so we shouldn't be enforcing civil processes on a federal level. Most of the violations for immigration laws, it's under the jurisdiction of the federal government. When it comes down to our immigrant population, some of the negative effects that if local law enforcement are enforcing immigration laws. You have our community not participating fully in their civil process. So we want our immigrant community to call on us to report the crimes when they're victims, when they are witnesses to incidents, because we cannot solve some of the incidents without them. If there's that fear that local law enforcement is now engaging in that, that population can be easily preyed upon. We want to ensure that our immigrant population and community know that when it comes down to local law enforcement, our role is, like I say, it's we don't have a role in immigration enforcement. That is the role of federal law enforcement, and we will leave it up to them.
Thank you. The next question, what do you see as the role of police in responding to mental health or drug-related crises?
Community caretaker. When it comes down to our officers responding to those situations, it is incumbent upon them to ensure that the person that's experiencing that crisis getting the treatment that they need. And we cannot arrest our way out of this crisis. So what is that alternative? Ensuring that the police department have a robust community partners that we can turn to assist us in this hand. Here in Milwaukee, we have a CART team, our crisis assessment response team, and our officers are paired with our clinicians to go out and assess our members of our community. They may be experiencing a crisis. So instead of always writing up a chapter 51, now this officer is paired with a clinician who can now assess the person and give them that best plan of action as to what is the right and proper disposition of those type of calls. So having some type of diversion system where 911 may be called, but law enforcement isn't, our frontline officers are not always the ones responding to those calls, but having that partner with us to assess the person, get them the treatment that they need, and get them out of that crisis moment. So I think that's critically important.
Thank you. Next question. Briefly describe your plan to reduce Madison's significant racial disparities in policing while maintaining public safety.
Racial disparities in policing can present itself in many forms. When you have officers engage in self-initiative activities such as the traffic stops, your field interviews, ensuring that biases does not creep into those type of discretion activity, and to focus on the policy. So policy, improved training, accountability, and like I said, community engagement. When it comes down to the policy and where I want our officers to focus their attentions on, it has to be focused on individualized, objective, or articulable, reasonable suspicion. And what I mean by that is when you're making that traffic stop, when you're making those field interviews, you can't just lump that group of individuals or this they all doing these certain activity. You have to be target specific as to what it is that these the individual is doing. Focusing on training and bias training, explicit, implicit, explicit biases, cultural competencies, de-escalation training. Like I said, just because you can doesn't mean you should. When it comes down to accountability, if officers are engaged in that type of activity, accountability up and down the chain is real. Holding officers, supervisors accountable for our officers as to what it is they do and what it is they don't do. So the accountability piece is real. Inspect what you expect. Engaging with our community, maintaining that and strengthening those partnerships. Input from our community is very critical. The community will get the department they demand, and we, as an agency, have to be receptive and responsive to the needs of our community. So I just think with all of us working together to ensure that if disparities are identified, how are we going to mitigate and address those? And accountability is one of those. Training is one of those. Ensuring that our officers keep their biases in check. And if those implicit biases become explicit, then as a head of the agency, it is incumbent upon me to ensure that officers, supervisors, up and down the chain are held accountable.
Thank you. And finally, the last question. Is there anything else you would like to say to the Madison community?
Yes. As I was putting my application for this process, it's not something I take lightly. I am a person that's loyal, dedicated, and committed to the things that I pursue. So to the Madison community, if I'm have the privilege and honor to serve as your next police chief, that level of commitment for me is firm. This is not I don't see this, and nor would I pursue this as a spot for me to try to land somewhere else. That's not why I'm here. I'm here because I love serving the community, and this will be my community. You know, when citizens challenge us as to what is that level of commitment that you have, and I can say that as a resident of this community, your pain is my pain. Your problems are my problems. So when a citizen say, hey, I'm having problems with a bullet coming through my house, well, I have that personal experience. A bullet did come through my house. So this community will be my community. And to my level of commitment to that, you know, having that conversation with my wife when this opportunity came about, and having her full support, along with my kids, even though they're grown, but they're still in the equation, and them encouraging me to pursue this opportunity. So I applied, and I sit before your Police and Fire Commission as one of the finalists. And my level of commitment, you don't look to potentially buy or build a house in this community if you don't plan on being here for a while. And that is something, if I am chosen as your next police chief, that I will buy or build a house in this community where this will be my community. So one thing about me, I take pride and ownership in the things I associate myself with. And I defend the cities, communities that I call home. In this city, if I'm chosen as your next chief, will be my home.
All right. Well, thank you for participating in this process with us today. And thank you for viewing this recording.
Thank you so much, Assistant Chief.
Thank you.
If you guys are ready, we can just begin.
Sure. Ben?
IT should be ready. They should have just, I think they're just staying on, so.
Okay.
Just tell them if they're not ready to pause.
If you're not ready, please call.
They called us on the little speaker thing the last.
Oh, they did. Oh, nice.
Yeah, we weren't sure they were there. Just mean you need to make sure Big Brother's there.
All right, hearing none.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead and get started. Good afternoon and welcome to the City of Madison Police Chief Interviews public segment. This interview was recorded on August 14th, 2025 to be published for public viewing. My name is Julie Trimble and I work in the City of Madison Human Resources Department. I am moderating this interview on behalf of the City of Madison Police and Fire Commission. Thank you for taking your time to view this taped interview. Each interview consists of 6 questions with a maximum allowable time of 20 minutes for each candidate. Our next interviewee is John Patterson, who is currently serving as the interim police chief with the City of Madison Police Department. Chief, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Julie.
We will now begin the questions. Question number 1. Please take a few minutes to introduce yourself to the residents of Madison and tell us what makes you the best candidate for chief of police.
Thank you. Well, hello and good afternoon. My name is John Patterson, and as Julie mentioned, I'm currently and honorably serving as the interim chief of police for the City of Madison Police Department. And I joined the department in 1998, and after 27 years of dedicated service, I'd like to explain to you why I applied for this position and why I feel like I'm best suited for it now. I deeply care about this community and this police department, and I feel like both need me to step forward. In 1994, I came to Madison as an incoming UW-Madison freshman, and I knew pretty quickly that I had found my new home. Later, I graduated with a bachelor's degree in Spanish after some time studying abroad in Spain, and a certificate in criminal justice. As a college intern, I was with the Madison Police Department, and I fell in love with the culture of learning that exists there. And I developed a very deep desire to serve our community more meaningfully. Later in life, I attended Edgewood University and received my master's degree in organizational leadership and change. And I feel now with my education coupled with my extensive experience all at the Madison Police Department and largely in leadership roles at that agency, that I'm best suited to lead our department forward and manage improvements and tangible change to our service delivery. Over the last 27 years, I've committed myself to forming deep relationships and trust with our community. I've emphasized the tenets of community policing and procedural justice. I've prioritized effective communication and transparency, and I work to ensure that data is always at the foundation of our operations. Madison's the only community that I want to serve. I love this community. My wife and I have raised 3 kids here. 2 are adults. One receives supportive services in the incredible South Madison. Another is at UW-Madison pursuing a bachelor's degree. And our youngest is still navigating the high school experience. I have other family in Madison, and we're all deeply committed to the community and to Dane County. Outside of the MPD, my commitment continues. For over a decade, I've served as a board member for Madison Festivals and currently serve as a board member for Safe Communities. I'm always looking for ways to deepen my commitment and deepen my service to our community. Over 27 years, as you can imagine, I've built a lot of meaningful relationships with residents, stakeholders, business owners, organizations, leaders. I think all of them in our community want some stability right now, and they'd like to see consistency and predictability, and a chief with a history of building trust with listening and collaborating, and that's what I've done in my 27 years. I believe I'm a servant leader. I emphasize empathy, service, and collaboration in our community. Even though it's been 27 years, I feel like I have many more years to give. So for over 21 years of my time I served in formal leadership roles. And I believe this is unique. And I believe it's broadened my vision. And it's really helped me understand how decisions that we make at every level of the organization will impact not only those working for the police department, but those living in our community. I've conducted comprehensive neighborhood assessments in two of our districts or directed them. I've participated in collaborative efforts like this with community members at the table. I've served in command roles on both of our major specialized team, which has given me unique perspectives. I've overseen our hiring and our recruitment efforts for the last 6 years. And I've overseen our largest section of our amazing non-commissioned supporting staff members. I've also overseen our capital and operating budgets over the last 6 years. And I believe it's given me a level of knowledge and expertise which is probably unmatched and really critical, I think, for our next police chief to possess. I've worked directly with city leaders, with elected officials, with community members, and try to increase communication and transparency into the police budget because there's often a lot of questions. I've also worked to ensure people that our resources and funds are being used ethically, responsibly, and in line with our Madison priorities and values. I've prioritized improving outcomes and reducing disparities throughout my career. Madison's an amazing community, but it is not perfect for everyone. There are gaps, there are things that we need to work on. And we need a police chief who's willing to acknowledge those and have those difficult conversations and lead tangible change. I've served on the Dane County Community Justice Council for years, and as a captain, I aggressively led an expansion of the CRC within the city of Madison from just the South District to all police districts. I've pushed for changes in our 12 to 16-year-old restorative justice program to improve frontline referral encounters. And I've started the first district advisory board in the South District in an effort to amplify voices who have traditionally not had a voice at the table when it comes to what justice may look like in their district. We created a model that's been replicated now in other districts. I'll continue to prioritize these areas and ideals as chiefs, and I'll continue to pursue collaborations, valuable collaborations around prevention with partners like Public Health and the Violence Prevention Unit, because prevention is often overlooked, but it's a critical piece of our success when it comes to improving outcomes in our community and reducing crime. We must not only reflect the mission and the goals of our police department, but the goals and the values of our community as well. I understand that we need to focus on our people and our culture and our service right now. We need to reinforce our accessibility to everyone in the community. We also need to reinforce that we will listen, that we will truly listen to our community, and that we will respond, especially to those who have not felt listened to for many years or ever, and especially to those who are feeling like they're afraid to call and even voice their concerns with the police department because of changes across our nation. I'm ready, and I believe I'm in the best position to serve in this capacity and move public safety and our police department forward. I believe I'm ready now, not a year from now, but right now. So thank you.
Thank you. Question two, what is your view on how police should engage with youth?
Well, thank you. Youth are our future, and meaningful youth engagement has to be a priority for our next chief, whoever that is. One of our top concerns when we went through our strategic planning process just a couple of years ago with the community was, in fact, youth engagement and those interactions between our officers and youth in the community. So I think we need to focus on five key priority areas. And the first is engaging in meaningful relationship building with our youth, especially our youth of color. We need to understand attitudes and perceptions on both sides if we are going to truly build healthy relationships with our youth in the community. Second, we need to create spaces for these dialogues and these conversations to occur. If I'm selected as chief, I would like to bring back the Chief Youth Advisory Board that was lost a couple of years ago. And I'd like to continue to pursue creative ideas for police officers and youth to interact and work on trust building and work on these relationships. Third, we need to continue our commitment to restorative justice efforts. As I spoke previously, we have a great 12 to 16-year-old program for municipal violations, but right now nothing exists for state crimes, and that's a problem, and we need to address that. We need a continued commitment to our summer youth academies. Just a few weeks ago, I was at our Black Youth Academy, and just yesterday, I was at our Latino Youth Academy. These are incredible opportunities for officers and young people in our community to interact, build relationships, and form trust. And then fifth, last, we need to continue to seek trainings, and we need to seek out policy and procedure improvements. In the past, I was able to help secure funding to bring policing the teen brain as a training topic to our police department, helping officers better understand how teen brains work and process outcomes, and really prepare them better to de-escalate situations. That is still taught today. And we were able to bring in a technical assistance partner through the Center for Children's Law and Policy to examine all of our policies, all of our procedures, and they made tangible changes that still exist today in our policies and procedures. So youth are our future, and for that reason alone, they need to be a priority for our next chief. Thank you.
Thank you. Number three, what is the role of local police in enforcing federal immigration laws?
Thank you. Our role has been defined for years by our mission statement, our code of conduct, and our core values. And our mission statement is to provide high-quality police services which are accessible to all people in the community, that will acknowledge people's dignity and respect their dignity and protect their rights, both individual and constitutional rights. So we can't deny access if we are to live by our mission. Our code of conduct speaks directly to it, to immigration enforcement. If we're true to the tenets of community policing, then we are going to work to ensure that our services are inclusive of everyone in the community. And for that reason, we will not arrest, we will not contact, detain, or investigate anyone for the sole purpose of the enforcement of immigration law or investigation of immigration status laws. And last, our standard operating procedure, which has been in place since 2017, under our own procedure, which is available on the MPE website, we will not enter into a 287G agreement with the federal government. There are very limited circumstances where we will consider immigration status, and that is mainly when an individual is suspected or has committed a serious crime in our community, something like a violent crime, or terrorism or espionage. This approach is not new and will continue to be our approach if I'm your next chief. I want to be a police chief for the entire community, and I believe no one should be afraid to call the police. I will always defend individual rights. I will always work to maintain access to all of our services. So I'm going to try to knock the rust off of my Spanish a little bit, because I realize some of our Spanish-speaking community are watching tonight, and they may want to hear this directly. Quisiera ser un jefe de policía para toda la comunidad. Nadie debería tener miedo de llamar a la policía. Siempre defenderé los derechos de cada persona y trabajaré para mantener el acceso de nuestros servicios para todos. Crime victims and people wanting to access police services should never feel uncomfortable reaching out to the MPD. Communication also has to be a top priority for us. In 2018, when an immigration action happened here in Madison, communication was a problem. We didn't understand what was happening, and police and other members in our community were ill-informed. Since then, I've been participating in a group of community leaders who are trying to serve as an immigration resource information team for people in our community who are impacted by immigration laws and concerns. We're trying to provide information updates on resources and what might or may not be occurring in our community. That has to continue, and that has to continue coming from the top of our organization. Last, I want to just take a minute and say thank you to every officer who's participating in Amigos en Azul, and that means Friends in Blue. Amigos has been around since the early 2000s here in Madison. It's expanded to include partners from all over Dane County, law enforcement partners. And their work to deepen relationships with specifically our Latinx community is profoundly needed right now. They've served as a resource, they've built new relationships, they've built trust. And I just want to say thank you to all of them. They're doing great work in our community, and I hope that continues. So thank you.
Thank you. Next question. What do you see as the role of police in responding to mental health or drug-related crises?
That's a great question. The role of mental health incidents of police is nuanced, and I don't know that we will ever fully be able to extract ourselves from certain situations. I'll start with what I think is working really well, and it starts with our mental health unit, and I don't think that they get enough recognition here in Madison. They have created a model which is now recognized as a national learning site here in Madison by the Council of State Governments. It's a six-person team, one officer assigned to every district, led by a sergeant and then complemented by now over 50 liaisons, mental health liaisons, largely assigned to our patrol services. But they work in collaboration to partner with support agencies to improve our response and connect people in need to resources and support services and away from the criminal justice system. I think this model has to continue. With their embedded crisis workers, we need to continue providing them with advanced crisis intervention training and enhanced crisis intervention training for our liaisons. These officers are then tasked to bring elements of that training back to the department and enrich our entire professional development package, so we're ensuring that every MPD member are receiving routine elements of crisis intervention training. Removing police from certain parts of the process is possible, though. Just a couple of years ago, we were able to work with members of the MPD and an elected official to bring a self-funded amendment to the table, and I was able to work with that elected official to push that forward. And it brought third-party transports into Madison for the first time. And so now individuals who are experiencing a mental health crisis and are placed under an emergency detention no longer have to ride 2+ hours in the back of a squad car in handcuffs to be transported to Winnebago Mental Health. They're picked up and given a ride by a third-party transport service. It's provided a much more humane experience, and it's removed hours of the experience from police involvement overall. We need to continue our work with CARES. CARES continues to grow, and we need to look for ways to further support them, enhance them, and hopefully mitigate even more police calls for service away from police officers, or calls for service, rather. As far as drug-related crises go, we need to build upon the Madison Area Recovery Initiative. We need more pre-arrest, true pre-arrest diversion efforts. This program has shown incredible and impressive results. And I can tell you, signing the completion letters for individuals who have completed the 6 months through MARI has been one of the highlights of my time as interim chief. To be able to offer additional words of encouragement as they begin that incredible road to recovery has been very meaningful for me. So thank you.
Thank you. Next question. Briefly describe your plan to reduce Madison's significant racial disparities in policing while maintaining public safety.
Thank you. I believe our community must expect that our next chief will examine data, listen to the community, be accountable to the disparities that exist and have persisted for far too long, and lead some action. Like I just said, disparities have existed for far too long in our community. We've made great advancements in the overall reduction of arrests, but the disparities have persisted. We have to aggressively work to improve outcomes for our youth and our communities of color, especially our Black community. Improving safety, I believe, can happen while we also improve outcomes overall. I've been committed to this work for years, and I think I've championed many efforts to divert and deflect people away from the traditional criminal justice system. I have personally participated in restorative justice circles, including one that came with incredible public scrutiny and attention. I've pushed for growth and expansions in all of our programs, and I've tried to look for ways to improve our own internal processes. I've led an effort to review individual arrest decisions to search for possible bias in those decisions. Now, this was done with the community and did not uncover evidence of bias during that particular effort. But for me, it highlighted the willingness, frankly, of our police department to participate in these challenging discussions. And it also convinced me that we need to do more of it. We need to involve the community more in these types of reviews, and we need to have more of these critical conversations to ensure that bias is not playing a role in individual arrest decisions. In 2016, I was working in the South District as a police captain, and I went from reviewing every arrest and citation report with the incredible Ron Johnson, our former CRC coordinator. We were looking for individuals to refer to the CRC, and went from that to 2 years later, we expanded the scope to every police district, and I think we have created a fantastic model with the help of many others. We made lasting improvements to frontline referrals for youth, but again, I've said this twice, I believe, we need other programs like MARI and pre-arrest diversion to be grown and to be enhanced and to be replicated in other areas. I want to be the chief who will push for more intentional work with our data and more strong collaborations with partners like the VPU and and Public Health, our violence prevention unit. Our support for critical prevention work and focused service delivery, I think, is critical when it comes to improving outcomes. We need to focus on individuals who are arrested more than once each year. They make up a measurable portion of our total arrests, and we need to start examining that. The police chief needs to lead that. And we need to always involve community in all aspects of our work. For years, I've worked collaboratively, with the Independent Monitor and the Police Community Oversight Board and other partners to try and build trust, accountability, and form new collaborations. And we need a chief that will keep doing those types of efforts. As chief, I will always pursue the best possible resolutions, and I will always make sure the officers have the training, resources, and knowledge to achieve them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And finally, the last question. Is there anything else you would like to say to the Madison community?
Well, first, I want to say thank you. It's been an incredible honor to serve as your interim chief of police. I truly hope I can continue as the permanent chief of police, but it has been an honor here in 2025. I want to thank you for your support for our officers and the work that they've done, but I also want to thank you for your collaboration. You have shown an impressive desire and willingness to collaborate and to form relationships with our officers. I think our officers' willingness to be data-driven and data-informed and your willingness to partner has led to incredible results. We're seeing decreases in all of our major tracked crimes right now, and it's just been absolutely impressive. This is great progress, but it's not all enjoyed elsewhere, so we need to take a moment to say thank you to one another and to acknowledge the work that our officers are doing, if you can, but also acknowledge the work that you and your neighbors are doing with one another. Madison's the only community where I hope to serve as chief of police. You'll never see my name if selected in another process. There isn't a greener pasture out there for me. For me, it's always been Madison, and Madison is it. If I'm your next chief, I pledge to always be present, to always be compassionate, to always be consistent and predictable, to always be fair, will always be approachable to you, and I'll always be curious, but never judgmental. So thank you very much for your consideration. Thank you for tuning in tonight, and thank you to the PSC for your time for this important process. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief, for participating in this interview process, and thank you for watching this interview.
just calling over there to the taping people. We're going to start this one a little bit early.
Good afternoon and welcome to the City of Madison Police Chief Interviews Public Segment. This interview was recorded on August 14th, 2025, to be published for public viewing. My name is Julie Trimble, and I work with the City of Madison Human Resources Department. I am moderating this interview on behalf of the City of Madison Police and Fire Commission. Thank you for taking your time to view this taped interview. Each interview consists of 6 questions with a maximum allowable time of 20 minutes for each candidate. Our next interviewee is Stephanie Drescher, who is currently serving as a police captain with the City of Madison Police Department. Captain, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Julie.
We will now begin the questions. Question 1. Please take a few minutes to introduce yourself to the residents of Madison and tell us what makes you the best candidate for Chief of Police.
All right. Thank you for the question. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Steph Drescher, and I'm currently the Captain of Training for the Madison Police Department. A little bit about me. I never thought about going into law enforcement. I grew up in a small town. After I went to high school, I moved down here to Madison, and I went to Edgewood. And I have a degree in history and religious studies. I ended up wanting to go to law school, so I took the LSAT, and I passed. But like often college kids realize, you don't have any money left. So I started working a part-time job at a corporation counsel's office as a legal assistant, and then started serving at night as a waitress. I ended up serving for about 13 years. I transitioned to a full-time job at Wisconsin Municipal Mutual Insurance Company, where I was a workers' compensation claims assistant, and WMIC is the agency that oversees the insurance for the City of Madison. So when I was employed at WMIC, I was approached by City Risk Management to see if I wanted to attend the final tactical scenarios for what ended up being the recruit class of 2008. Our job was simply to take any claims that might come in, do any risk management about why people were getting injured, and overall just get a feel of why these claims might be coming into our agency through City Risk Management. When I was there, I was approached by then Sergeant Koval, and he asked me, how old are you, where'd you go to school, and have you ever thought about being a police officer? I said, 25, Edgewood, and no. And he said, I think you'd really like it. I think you find it very fulfilling, and I think you should give it a try. And I thought, well, I wasn't thrilled doing the job that I was doing at the time and working 2 jobs, very long hours. So I thought, this is an opportunity. He sees something in me that maybe I do not see in myself. And I was always told that when an opportunity comes along, that they are fleeting and to take the chance on it. So then he told me about the physical agility test, and I told him I hadn't run a mile and a half since high school, but I began training, took the physical agility test, passed all the testing, and became one of 24 recruits in the class of 2009. I was a patrol officer on mostly the west side of town, or what we typically call Channel 3 here at the Madison Police Department, until 2016. I was a field training officer and part of the field training cadre for many years. I was promoted to sergeant in 2016, and I remained in patrol operations, again, mostly on Channel 3, but being new, you get bumped all over. And then in 2021, I was promoted to patrol lieutenant, and I moved over to the north side of town. And then in 2021, I was promoted to captain and was assigned to the executive section captain of operations. So I oversaw patrol staffing and operations for the department. And most recently, in December of last year, transitioned over to the training department. In 2023, I graduated from the University of Chicago Policing Leadership Academy, where I focused a capstone project on domestic violence homicides in the City of Madison. Since then, I've presented at the International Association of Chiefs of Police, National Association of Women Law Enforcement Executives, as well as the National Criminal Justice Association. In my time as a commander, I've overseen our canine unit, our mounted unit, our drone unit, and currently am the deputy commander for our special weapons and tactics team. I consider myself a lifelong learner, and I study this profession to advance our department, our workforce, and our community. I believe that after working through the department, I've realized there are opportunities for police advancement. Police reform is okay to say. It's necessary to say. We always say that, you know, we expect recruits to fail, but fail forward and learn, and that's where growth and change comes. And I believe it's what sets me apart of having a forward-thinking, education-based mindset for the department.
Thank you. Next question. What is your view on how police should engage with youth?
Thank you. Overall, how police engage with youth should appear more like mentoring and less like monitoring. It's highly imperative that we as police engage as a participant, not as an enforcer, at times that are outside of crises for youth. When we always talk about, you know, going to a basketball court and playing basketball with youth, but there are plenty of places that youth could experience positive police interactions to gauge relationships. My daughter, for example, I have two stepdaughters. I call them my daughters because I've been around them so long. She's a member of the Gay Straight Alliance. Is there an opportunity there for police interaction in a marginalized identified community? We talk about libraries and going and interacting with youth at their spaces, on their grounds. And being very cognizant when you're interacting with youth, to coming in with an inquiry mindset of asking what they see, what they think, not coming in as an advocacy, what you believe your platform should be as a police officer. It's conversational where you're speaking with the youth and not at the youth. Youth, oftentimes, anybody with children knows it takes time to thoroughly explain why we are doing something, but that's really imperative for youth when it comes to police interactions. And it might take a couple of times. It might take more than a couple of times. They might not respond or comply right away. But it's important to realize that that communication and the transparency and the honesty and the openness is just as important with youth as it is with any and all members of our community. What we can do here in the city of Madison, and I believe even to expand on it, we have our Latino Youth Academies and our Black Youth Academies. And these are times where we are able to interact with youth from marginalized communities in a positive, positive setting where we're doing fun things, the youth are learning, we're able to gauge what they're looking for from their police department as well. And over the years, we've seen youth that have come back and have said, I never thought about being a police officer, and after being around all of you and experiencing this, this might be something that I want to do. So it's changing how the youth perceive what police officers are there to do. And again, it's doing it without being in a time of crises and where you already have those established relationships. Out at the training center in our department, we can continue to teach cultural competency, cultural humility, and really how the youth brain works, because we realize that, and research shows that the youth brain isn't fully developed until about 25. So interactions might seem a little bit different and might look a little bit different. And when we're looking to build meaningful relationships with the youth, it's about building trust. And trust is about credibility and behavior in any communities, but especially with youth. And it's about explaining what your reason for is being for there, what are you looking to contact them from. And we can continue doing things like restorative justice, which is a great program that we do, with the entire goal of all interaction with youth to be a deflection from the criminal justice system. You can catch smaller problems earlier on with great relationship building with youth that might ultimately become bigger issues, but if you can get them when they're smaller and control them and build a relationship where you get to know someone and you celebrate their successes. And if you decide to go to a basketball game or a volleyball game or a drone competition or whatever it may be, that you're choosing to celebrate their successes and not always youth's failures. Because youth will have failures. They're figuring out life. Anybody with children understand that that's an ongoing, you know, sometimes battle of figuring out how to get through to youth, and it takes time, and it takes mentorship, and it takes building trust.
Thank you. Next question. What is the role of local police in enforcing federal immigration laws?
Thank you. MPD officers are not federal agents, and we should not be enforcing federal immigration laws, as we are not an arm of the federal government. MPD has a very strong policy, which I support wholeheartedly, that we shall not detain, arrest, or initiate any contact with anyone simply based on immigration status. Community members' immigration status is immaterial to MPD. It does not align with enforcing immigration laws, does not align with our core values, our mission statement, our vision statement, or frankly, our operating procedures. We have a long-standing commitment to community policing within the city of Madison, and committed to providing high-quality police services that are accessible to all members of our community. And enforcing federal immigration laws is going to deteriorate that trust that has taken years to build up and relationships that have built up if what we're seeing across the nation are agencies that are violating that trust. You are violating the very basics of the right to police in a democratic society. We cannot be enforcing SOP that reads that we shall not get into in 287G, and I thoroughly believe that as well. We are too deeply rooted in community trust and community relationships, you put yourself in a very risky situation where you're starting to see actions and behaviors that are going to deteriorate the trust that you have built. Our main role as local law enforcement is to continue to reinforce to our community what our core values are, what our mission statement is, what our operating procedures are, and what resources are available, including access to police services, Centro Hispano, and other community organizations that are there for support in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question. What do you see as the role of police in responding to mental health or drug-related crises?
Thank you. So police's primary response to anyone suffering from mental health-related issues or drug-related issues, or really in an altered state of mind, is mostly of scene security and scene safety and stabilization. And that's for all parties present, the subject in crises or any other licensed clinical social workers or police officers or firefighters that might be with us in response. We as MPD officers are not all of us at least, are licensed clinical social workers. We might have a couple, but we are not mental health experts. We are simply trained to notice the behaviors that might indicate what the subject might be suffering from, whether that's mental health related or drug related issues. Our goal is to de-escalate the situation using the least amount of force possible and connect them with qualified resources with the goal of ultimately diverting them from the criminal justice system. MPD has a long-standing history of our MARI program, our Madison Area Recovery Initiative, since 2017, and it's used as both a diversion and a deflection program. In that, when officers respond to a call and they fit the criteria of being a Dane County resident, an adult, and a related drug offense, officers are able to issue them a citation and refer them directly to resources in the community like Tellurian. And if they're able and willing and wanting to go get help with their substance abuse from the true qualified professionals that are able to provide it to them, they are able to do that and completely divert from the criminal justice system. And right now, MARI is also doing diversion programs where they're out in the community. We're out at the Central Library and Luke House and the Salvation Army, letting people know about the resources in the community that are available if they would like to get help with any drug-related issues. Is there opportunities to expand on that? Are we able to get it out more into the community? Currently, there's an ad that's running through Quick Trip gas stations. Is that maybe the community that's mostly directly impacted by drug-related issues? Can we put them downtown on the Madison Metro buses or other facilities where folks are able to get that resource readily available if they don't have maybe even transportation to get downtown. So there's other options of really working on the diversion and deflection, because that's the ultimate goal when responding to drug-related issues and mental health-related issues. We also have our CARES program for our mental health response, which just last month they reached over 10,000 calls for service, and they only began in 2021. So when someone's suffering from a mental health crisis and they call 911, dispatchers are asking them, do you need police? Do you need fire? Or is this someone that might benefit from a CARES response? And if CARES needs us, we're happy to respond and stabilize the scene and then turn the subjects over to the qualified professionals that are CARES for additional resources. Or if CARES goes and they need us to come to help then assist or stabilize, we're happy to do that as well. But we recognize that the resources that CARES are available to offer is most beneficial to those in need. And you'll be constantly hearing it on the radio, is CARES available or is mental health unit available? So it really goes to show how much patrol services and the community respond well to such modified responses. Is there another opportunity? There are some agencies across the nation right now that are embedding licensed clinical social workers or peer support specialists in their dispatch centers. So people, when they're calling, are able to immediately get connected with a clinical social worker or a peer support specialist and get the resources they might need right away, with totally then diverting from a first responder response to their residents, which it could then cause the issue to be heightened if police have to respond, or it's just the that people become very cautious when it's a first responder versus a licensed clinical social worker to give them the qualified assistance.
Thank you. Briefly describe your plan to reduce Madison's significant racial disparities in policing while maintaining public safety.
Thank you. I think this question really gets down to why we are policing, when we are policing, but mostly how we are policing our neighborhoods. There is a very clear difference between proactive policing in communities and community policing in communities. And I'll briefly touch on a research project that's currently out of the University of Virginia, and it's simply called 10 Simple Words, and it talks about a benevolent transparency statement. And what this is if, I'll give an example. If I, as an officer, go out into a community, and I contact someone and say, hi, my name is Officer Steph Drescher, can I talk to you for a minute? Immediately, my intentions are not known, but they know I'm a police officer, and I want to talk to them. This could increase threat and fear and mistrust of why police are there looking to speak to me. Now, the intent from the officer could just be that they think they're doing great and making a great positive contact with a community member when they're out on routine patrol. But how is that perceived by the community member? For vice versa, if you go in and you're open and transparent about why you are there, simply state, hi, my name is Steph. I'm just out for a walk and I'm getting to know my community members. That's going to increase trust. Community members know why you're there. It's not ultimately putting a wall up of why are you questioning me. And the research has shown, and the whole research started because they began researching agencies that said that they were involved in community policing, but there was a report of no legitimate increase in trust amongst the community. As well as there was increased fear and crime wasn't going down. So something wasn't working. So the research showed that ultimately it did decrease fear by about 50%, and it was in marginalized communities, and it increased trust after the contact. So simply going in and saying why we are here and why we are policing this. There's also the importance of having the people that are going out into our community, our officers, be reflective of that community. And that's not just the diversity that we see sometimes just on the outside. It's people's paths, where they come from, can they identify with someone on a different level of, I know what it's like to feel X, Y, or Z, or I lived in this community, or I used to play on that team, or I used to go to that library. To have those connections that are deeper to build trust. And again, trust is built on credibility and honesty and transparency and truth. And if we can do that in our community and you build a legitimate trust in the community of why you're there and what you are doing as a police agency, we can ultimately begin to address the core issues that affect our communities in the city of Madison.
Thank you. And the final question, is there anything else you would like to say to the Madison community?
Thank you. Ultimately, I would like to just say thank you to the Madison community for allowing me to be a law enforcement officer in this community for the last 16 years. Throughout my years, I have seen where relationships with police and the community have struggled, and we've worked through them, struggled, and sometimes we haven't, and there's room for growth. We have seen where there's been trying times in our agency, and we have all come together. There have been trying times in the community, and we have all come together. And I believe it's very inspirational, and that we can continue to work together as a community to build up where every person who calls Madison home feels safe and equitable and accessible to police services. Thank you.
Thank you for being here today and participating in the interview process. And thank you for viewing this recording today.
Thank you.